Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be seated, please. I am the greatest. Does that ring a bell to anybody? I am the greatest. When I was a kid, Muhammad Ali came on the TV as a boxer, proclaiming he was the greatest boxer ever. And he proceeded to spend his career in boxing, proclaiming his greatness to the world. And I'm quite sure that the others that were in the ring with him debated that in their minds, not only by themselves, but with him as well. If you go on the internet, you can see all the taunts that Muhammad Ali, all the quotes of his taunts that he used to try to get inside the heads of his opponents. And so he was the greatest, right? Today we hear from Mark, who records an occasion when the disciples were talking amongst themselves. In fact, there was an argument. They were discussing something with great passion. Who of the disciples was the greatest and most important? And this is one of those endless arguments, right? The classic schoolyard debate. My dad is stronger than your dad. Oh yeah, well my dad's richer than your dad. Well, guess what? My dad's smarter than your dad, so there. Right? It never really goes anywhere. It just keeps going on and on. There's no end to it. What criterion can be used to determine who is greater than another person? In spite of the uselessness of such a discussion, we still kind of get into them today, don't we, with that way of thinking. People want to determine who is more important, the greatest, the wealthiest, the smartest. You get where I'm going. The disciples got into this kind of argument, thinking that Jesus was far enough away from them that he wouldn't hear them. He couldn't hear them. But they were wrong. And when Jesus asked them what they had been talking about, they were embarrassed. It was probably another one of those cricket moments that I spoke about last year. He turns and asks them, and no one's going to say a word. I'm not telling them what we were talking about. Are you going to tell them what we were talking about? I'm not going to tell them. You tell them. I'm not telling them. Right? They don't want to admit it. They were like kids with their hands caught in the cookie jar. They realized that Jesus had caught them in their discussion. The best thing they could do was keep their mouths shut. But Jesus knew what was going on, and so he sits down in the posture of a teacher about to tell their students something important. He sits down and he says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And God has built into the human heart the desire to succeed in everything we do. And Jesus isn't saying that wanting to do our best or wanting to be first is a bad thing. Ambition in itself isn't a bad thing. Rather, Jesus defines what it really means to be first. He tells them the true way to greatness. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. As on other occasions I've talked about before, Jesus is turning things upside down again. He's using language that they don't understand, the disciples don't understand. And what I mean by this is the world measures greatness by prestige and power. How much people applaud the great things accomplished. And how many people serve you and how widespread is your fame. Greatness is when people slap you on the back for your dedication and the achievements that you've made. In the Jewish culture of Jesus' day, a great deal of time was spent deciding where people fell in the pecking order. It was very important and vital to know where you ranked in order to know your social status. Authority and titles were very important. But Jesus said that if someone wants to be first, that person must become the servant of everyone else. Most of us have heard that before, right? We have to serve everyone. It's not a new saying or concept. But for the disciples, this was different than anything they had heard before. Compared to the criteria that the rest of the world at that time was using to determine who and what was great, this was a revolutionary idea. And it still sort of is today. To be first in God's eyes is a complete turnaround to the kind of greatness that the world thinks of. The person who wants to be great in God's eyes must be the servant of everyone else. It's not about how many people serve me, but how many people I serve. It's not a matter of how often people have spoken to me or how much others have helped me, but how often have I spoken to others or given others assistance? This kind of servanthood isn't about letting others do all the work, as we found out yesterday when everyone came together for our event. It's not about letting others do all the work, but finding out a way that I can work, that I can visit a shut-in or the sick, or the grieving or the lonely. But there's more to the story. We read, Jesus took a child and put it among them. He took it up in his arms and said to them, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Interesting. Why does Jesus associate the act of receiving a little child in his name and being first in God's eyes? What do they have to do with each other? What do they have to do with being the greatest? I mean, children are wonderful, are they not? For the most part, usually. It's almost always, 99.95% of the time, easy to love a child. Babies and toddlers are cute and lovable. We support our kids at school. We go to their concerts or their games. We cheer them on in everything they do. We encourage them. So why is Jesus making such a fuss about a child as an example of how we should serve one another? And the point is this. You knew I'd get there. Not only were children at the bottom of the pecking order in Jesus' day, they were also very vulnerable. For a people that had a fixation on the pecking order in society, it was unheard of that someone of importance would get down to a child's level and take them up in his arms and refer to them as important. Children represented the poor, the needy, the downtrodden, and the ordinary. They were almost worthless. Here, Jesus embraces a small child and says, whoever receives one such child receives me and the one who sent me. Being number one in God's kingdom is not about conquering or overcoming another. It's about putting others first. It's about the love of an almighty God being available to all sorts of people, being available to the lost, so that someone like you or me or someone we know can be found, so that a broken one like me or you or someone we know or even someone we don't know can be made whole. It's about the wanderer like you or me or someone else that has a home to go to. Greatness in the eyes of Jesus is found in the willingness of his disciples to receive, accept, and really welcome those that they would normally consider as unreceivable, unacceptable, or unwelcome. It's something here that St. Stephen's does extremely well, welcoming people. Our welcoming prayer says it all. Greatness means to welcome others as a child does, before he or she is taught to discriminate on who they should and should not be friends with or play with or spend time with. When Jesus wrapped his arms around that child, he demonstrated his love for the lowly and the ignored. What Jesus is teaching us here is not just kindness, but kindness that is directed towards those who never experience the kindness of the world. It's not just tenderness, but tenderness towards those who never feel a loving touch. It's not just hospitality, but a wide, open-armed welcome towards those who, for whom all other doors are shut. And Jesus was calling his disciples to a radical new vision of what the kingdom of God is all about. A radical new vision of how life can actually be. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. The Bible is telling us today that service to others is tied up ever so closely with our belief and trust in Jesus. To believe in Jesus also means we will serve those who need and crave love. This is the kind of servanthood that Jesus has called this congregation to work towards. And we do a very good job of it. We reach outside of our own walls to those in need. But it's a tough kind of ministry. It's not always understood by the rest of the world, who wonder why we bother with these kinds of people. Why do we go to Camden? Why would you do that? Right? We're called to do that, and so we do it. It's a tough ministry because it's much easier to go for the glitz and glamour type of things that people will talk about and give prestige to and bring a greater reputation in the community. It's a tough ministry because it goes against the grain of our human nature. Oftentimes, it's easier to focus on ourselves and our own needs rather than on the needs of others. Many churches spend so much time on themselves, they forget to go outside the walls to the others. It's a tough ministry because it takes faith that we are doing what God wants us to do. We need God's constant guidance and His Holy Spirit to keep us on track. In a Sound Vision interview with Muhammad Ali, when asked how he wanted people to describe him, what would they say about the greatest boxer that ever lived? Ali said he wanted people to say, he took a few cups of love, he took one tablespoon of patience, teaspoon of generosity, one pint of kindness, he took one quart of laughter, one pinch of concern, and then he mixed it with willingness and happiness. He added lots of faith, and he stirred it up well. Then he spread it over his span of a lifetime and served it to each and every deserving person he met. I pray we could all learn to be as great as this. Amen.